chapter 9. And I want to minister for a few moments this morning about running the race. When we look at Paul's epistles, he would often use a foot race as a type or an analogy of our Christian experience. And there's a couple of things about a foot race that cannot be denied, whether it's two people in it or whether it's 100 people running a marathon. There's one thing that is consistent. You have no possibility of winning if you are not willing to exert yourself. I'm just let that set in. You have to exert yourself, whether it's a sprint or a marathon. You have to exert yourself if you just even want to finish, let alone winning, just even finish. And for sure, if you start the race and you run a few feet and then stop, and then run a few more feet and then stop, and run a few more feet and then stop, you have no possibility of winning because somebody else is exerting themselves on a consistent basis. So the first thing is that we have to be willing to exert ourselves. And then number two, even exerting yourself supremely, there's no guarantee that you're going to win because somebody else is running right along beside you. And so Paul, with this mindset, he taught in three different epistles the importance of us running the race and being consistent in our run. And so I just want to share some thoughts with you this morning. Let's just read 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll begin with verse 24. Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, as one that beateth the air." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for this message this morning. We ask you, Lord, to make it real in the hearts of the people. Give me the ability to speak plainly to your people that this might be lodged within their spirits. And Father, we ask you that you would bless the offering this morning that we'll receive here in the worship room and all across the internet, and that you would give us wisdom to use every dollar for the betterment and advancement of the kingdom of God. We pray it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Now, Paul has said quite a bit in this short passage. And again, he's likening the Christian experience. He would teach this to many of the churches that he founded, and we have evidence that he even looked at his own salvation somewhat as a race. And again, keep in mind, you have to exert yourself. And there's not a guarantee you're going to win. So you can never just lay back and take it easy. You have to continually and consistently exert yourself. Now, he begins by saying, "Know ye not." I mean, don't you know? And all of us know this. Sometimes we don't stop to parse through the details of it. "But know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." He's simply saying that a number of people will run this race at the same time, but there's only one winner. There's only one that comes across the finish line before everyone else. So when we begin to exert ourselves in this race called Christianity, we have to have a mindset, I'm not running to finish. I'm running to win. How many compete in sports or anything like that? Let me ask a different question. How many just are competitive? Just you're playing checkers, but you're playing to win. Well, that's how we have to look at our Christian experience. Now, we're not competing with one another. We're really competing with ourselves because God wants us to run our best race. He doesn't want us to run somebody else's race. Run your race and run it the best that you possibly can. So Paul says that many run, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. He's saying that there is a prize at the end of the race. Run your race with your eyes on that prize so that you might obtain it. Many times in Christianity, we begin running and then we start coasting. Has anybody ever been guilty? Come on, all of us have done that at one time or another. You begin to coast just a little bit, But you find that the momentum wears off real fast, and you have to re-engage your mind and begin to what? Exert yourself again. He says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, any type of an athlete that's doing anything, and we'll stick to the race analogy, if you're running a race and you're a professional runner, there are certain things that you do. As a matter of fact, much of your life then begins to revolve around that one event when you're racing. Now, Sister Jasper, she's not here this morning. She'll be in the next service. She's roughly right in my age group. She's still running marathons. She's still running 20 to 25 miles. And I've talked to her many times. When she's getting ready to run a 20-mile race, she starts running weeks, even months early. And she starts building up from 5 miles to 13 miles to 17 miles. What did you do before breakfast? Oh, I just ran 13 miles. I just have to get ready for the race. And so that's what Paul is saying here, that if you're striving for the mastery, you have to be temperate. You can't overeat. You can't overindulge in your party life. There are certain things you have to discipline yourself so that you can be in peak condition. The same is true in Christianity. There are certain things that we have to be temperate in if we're going to complete this race with the hope of obtaining the prize. We can't run like the world runs. We have to run. A real athlete cannot live just the way that average people live. A real athlete is always in tune with where their body is at, what their level of preparation is, and whether or not they're ready to run the race. And so we have to do the same as Christians. He goes on to say, now they, speaking of the world, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but you and I are running the race to obtain an incorruptible crown, which is eternal life. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. That's what we're laying, that's what we're running to lay hold upon, is that incorruptible crown. Paul goes on to say, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, this is a little archaic to read in the King James, but if you've ever seen a boxer, when they're training, they're not on the heavy bag, they're not on the whatever you call it, the speed bag, they're not on that. They're just punching the air. They're just practicing their moves. They're just punching. And that's what Paul relates to beating the air, is shadow boxing. He's saying, now I'm running, but I'm not shadow boxing. In other words, I'm not just going through the movements. You with me? See, that's what shadow boxing is. You're just going through the movements, but you're not really pushing in a battle. You're not really part of the race, if I could say it that way. And so it's important for us not to just go through the motions. And many times within the church, you can find people get into a lackadaisic mindset where we're simply going through the motions. Oh, the calendar says it's Sunday, 9:00. I better go to church. And go to church and come home, and well, my religious duty is done, and I'll go about doing whatever else I want to do. But that's not how an athlete does. An athlete, after they leave the track, after they leave the football field, after they leave whatever athletic effort they're in, they maintain a discipline all of their life so that the next time that they compete, they're in peak condition. Saints, we have to do the same thing. As Christians, that's what Paul is teaching here, is that we don't become, as he says here, beating the air, that we're not just shadow boxing. We're not just going through the motions, but we're exerting ourselves. For example, when you worship or when you praise God, be it here in the worship room or at home, and I hope that you do praise God at home. You should worship at home. But whenever you do that, you don't want to just go through the motions. You want to truly pour your heart out before God. You want to truly just open up and just truly worship Him and have an experience with God, not just move through the motions of what you perceive worship to be. Does that make sense? Paul told the Galatians, and the Galatians had this situation going on. Paul established the church there, and they started out strong. I mean, they fell in love with Jesus Christ. They even went so far as to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Gifts were operating in the midst of them. And they allowed the world and those that are contrary to Christianity to begin to pull them in another direction. And Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Galatians, he said, you did run well, but who did hinder you? In other words, you started this race, man, you were on fire. You were just running strong. You were doing well. What is it that hindered you to such an extent that you've gone off path? You're not even running the race anymore. And see, we can ask ourselves the same question. Christianity is not this where you go up, 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 up. Christianity is this. How many can say amen? Yet every day is not an up day. Every month is not an up month. It's a struggle. It's a fight. And sometimes you have to recalibrate your mind to say, holy, wait a minute. I've got to begin to exert myself stronger now. And the lack of doing this is why so many in Christianity have an inadequate prayer life. It's because we don't exert ourselves in that area. It's why so many of us have an inadequate study life. We don't exert ourselves in that area. And over the long haul, what happens is other people are running the race and they've moved past you because you've been stopping. Remember that little tale of the tortoise and the hare? The hare didn't have much speed, but he was consistent. And here's something about the race that we have to understand. The Christian race is not a sprint. Get that out of your mind. And that's what the Galatians did. They took off like it was a sprint. Paul says, you did run well, but they took off like a sprint. But the Christian race, it is a marathon. I mean, it's a marathon. I got saved in 1986. I believe it was 86. I've been running for 40 years now. These people in this room been running 50 years, 60 years. It's a marathon. So you have to set your mindset that it's not something just one and done. It's not just a one-off effort that you have to make. It's an effort you have to make consistently every day of your life, decade after decade. You got to keep pushing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. You can't give it just a little effort at one point in time and then think you can coast for the next 40 years. You're going to backslide. Amen. So in Hebrews, Paul brings up this same mindset, and he begins in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and he begins talking about all of the greats. It's called the Hall of Faith. All of the greats from the Old Testament who lived for God and lived strong, who stood in the faith no matter what happened. Some of them were devoured by wild animals. Some of them gave up their lives. Others went through horrendous trials. But they never stopped running the race. And I've seen that too many times in Christianity that someone is running the race and then something happens in their life. They have an event, a horrible event perhaps that happens in their life. And they just walk away and just say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. And they discontinue from the race. But those in Hebrews chapter 11, no matter what happened to them, they continued running. And Paul says in Hebrews 12 and 1, right on the heels of the Hall of Faith, he says, wherefore, in other words, based on everything I told you in chapter 11 about these great men and women of God who would not stop running, who would not give up, therefore, or wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witness. It means that there's this cloud of faithful followers of mighty God who have consistently walked through all of their trials. That's who you're running with. That's who you're running with. Seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Here it is. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run the race with patience that is set before us.
I should read it this way. And let us with patience run the race that is set before us. Now, Paul gives us a couple of clues here. As Christians, we're in a race. And he's telling us through this to the Hebrews that if you want to have a chance of obtaining the crown, you're going to have to lay aside every weight and the sin that is hindering you. You cannot successfully compete in this race if you got sin weighing down your effort. Does that make sense? It's like a natural athlete. If you'll notice when they ran in the Olympic Games, they put on the most sheer garments that they can. No wind resistance. I mean, they're not wearing big floppy clothes that's holding the wind. They're laying aside. They don't bring their phone with them when they're running. Nobody's got their backpack on because it's just extra weight. And so they lay all that stuff around so that they can be their best. And they set records that it takes years sometimes to break their records because they're at peak performance. They did their very best. And so Paul is likening it unto that. He's saying that you and I, we have to lay aside those weights and sins that hinder us, that weigh us down, that keep us from performing at our very best. Now, it's interesting. I'll deal with the sin first. Intuitively, we just know that we are not going to make our best effort for Jesus Christ if we're involved in habitual sin. Can I get an amen? If we got habitual sin going on in our life, we're not running, we're not striving to win the race, we're striving with this sinfulness. And it's a hindrance. And all of us experience this from time to time. It does not have to be smoking dope. It does not have to be what we refer to sometimes as the big sins. Sometimes the sin can be the attitude of our heart. Just got the wrong attitude. Spouse left because our attitude was wrong. Had a little problem that grew up into a big problem because we didn't lay it aside. That's good preaching. But he says to lay aside that sin. And so somebody might ask, well, what do you mean? What is sin? In the broadest sense, anything that violates God's moral code is sin. But the scripture has this definition in James, and I like this. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that's sin. In other words, when a person knows that if I walk this way, that's a good thing, but I'd rather walk this way, walking that way is sin. It may not be drinking liquor, smoking dope. It may not be anything else. You are violating God's will for your life. You're going the opposite direction that God would have you to go. That's sin. And it may not be anything that other people refer to as sin, but for you it could be sin. Because he's got the general will for all of our lives. That's his moral code. But then he also puts specific things on specific people. Those are your convictions. So he says, lay aside every weight and the sin. So that's sin. Let's deal with the weight. Weight is not necessarily sin. It doesn't have to be a sin. It doesn't have to be a matter of right or wrong. It can simply be something that's hindering you from your best effort in your Christian progression. It's just a hindrance. I'll tell you, one of the greatest weights that we have now in the Christian community, and it's been around for decades, it is the television set. Because it literally steals hours of our time that we could be advancing in our knowledge of the word, that we're just sitting up watching weirdness. Stuff that somebody came out of somebody's mind while they were drunk, and they made a script of it and put it on the television set, and we easily get addicted to it. And you know, we giggle and we laugh about that, but this is a serious situation. And now that we're at the end of the age, it's been overhyped because now the television set is in our pocket. It's our cell phone. And we're so engaged into what's going on in this digital world that we lose our sense of urgency in running the race for Jesus Christ. And what we've tried to do, I've seen this in Christianity, we try to take the Christian race and set it into the digital world. Yes, I'm a Facebook evangelist. No, you're not. God's reality is not digital. God's reality is analog. And you have to stay in reality because in the digital world, you can manipulate that any way that you want to. Especially now that artificial intelligence is involved, you don't know what you're seeing. I saw a little video the other day. It was like a basket of chicken. I mean, a basket of drumsticks. And the drumsticks turned into living chickens right in front of my eyes. And it was very convincing. But they can do all kind of weird stuff now because that's in a world that can be manipulated. And if it can be manipulated, you better believe that man will manipulate it. But in God's world, there are laws of physics that are stable. They don't move. They don't shift around. And God is conducting his business within the realm of reality. There will be no social media in heaven. There will be no television in heaven. There will only be Christ. Man, that's good. So then weights are those things that we can get involved in that simply hinder our Christian progression. They're not necessarily sin. They're not necessarily wrong. But our lack of temperance, our lack of moderation is what make them wrong. I'll give you a good example, not beating nobody up, just making an example here. I need to eat. You need to eat. If you don't eat, you don't live. But eating was always meant to be kept in some moderation. It was never meant for us to eat so much that our bodies no longer could handle it. And so if you're an athlete, you're running a race, but you're not temperate, and all of a sudden you put on, oh, let's just say 80 extra pounds, well, you're not going to be able to run that race. And so my point is that temperance and moderation, not just in our diet, in every aspect of our life. Some of us, you got to have 8 hours, up to 10 hours of sleep. You need that for your brain to function correctly. 14 is too much. It's quiet. I hope you don't sleep no 14 hours. Discipline is something that you have to make that habit. And once you make that habit, your body will run on discipline autopilot. You just have to build the habit. I, for years now, I get up every morning at 4:15. That's my time to get up. And I set my alarm clock, but usually I'm up before that. This morning, oddly enough, I got to bed late last night. And I was fairly tired. And so this morning I woke up and I stood up and I looked at my clock to see my cell phone to see what time it was, and the alarm just started going off. The point is that the discipline woke me up on time and so that I could see, yep, I'm right on time with where I'm supposed to be. So once we make habits that are disciplined, once we make moderation a discipline, it's easy to live in that. But if you don't have that, you're not going to win the race. So Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now he says, run with patience. That's somewhat oxymoronic, isn't it? I mean, if you're running a race, seems like you need to get down. But he says, run it with patience. It lets us know it's a marathon. It's a long run. Now, you can leave out and you can blow yourself out in the first 100 yards, But in the second 100 yards, everybody's going to pass you. And so you have to have the mindset, this is a long-term thing. I cannot run so hard in my Christian experience the first 5 years that I just coast the next 35. That it doesn't work that way. Every day you have to get up and you have to run that race. And in fact, the next verse says, let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That means keep your eye on the finish line. Christ-likeness, that's the finish line. That's what we're running towards. And you can tell how well you're running the race with how much of Christ-likeness is being exhibited in your life. The closer you get to the finish line, the closer you get, the more Christ-like you become. Now, some people hear the Christ-likeness is this way, but they start running this way and becoming more like the devil. Saints, Christianity is a race. You have to exert yourself. It has to become the center of your life. You know, when you buy software, for example, if you buy a piece of software for your computer, certain software, you can later on purchase what are called add-ons. It's another component that you can add on to your existing software that gives you another function. Jesus is not an add-on. You can't add him on. He comes in and he erases everything you had going on and he establishes his own thing in your life. And this, I think, is why many people really don't want to run the race, because when Jesus comes in, he rearranges everything. Whatever you had going on is out the window. Here's my will for your life. And God is... He's very determined. I've shared this any number of times, but when I gave my heart and life to the Lord, I was right at the verge of getting married. I'd been living with a lady for 5 years, and it was like, hey, we got to get our lives together. And I got saved one day. Praise the Lord. And the first thing the Lord told me is, I'm erasing all your mess. Old girl you was getting ready to get married to, she's out. She's out. I need you to go marry your ex-wife. Yeah, he'll come in, he'll erase your whole thing and tell you what to do. And as the song lyrics said that we sang earlier, his ways are better. his ways are better. But saints, we're in a race. It's a race that we have to run. You have to exert yourself. You cannot just coast through it or you're not going to grow. You can't start and stop and start and stop and start and stop. You're not going to grow like that. You're going to find yourself 30 years later in the same position you were in 30 years ago because you weren't consistently exerting yourself in this Christian race. Amen? Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for the clarity of your word. We thank you for your goodness, your patience with us. Lord, as we stumble and stagger all over the racetrack, God, you're not put off by our incompetency. But Lord, you help us, you undergird us, you strengthen us, you educate us, you teach us, you guide us. And Father, we just thank you this morning for it so very, very much. I'm going to ask you this morning if you're able. Why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning if you're able? And just begin to reach out and ask the Lord concerning your race. You're running a race. You know what your effort has been. You know exactly where you're at. And just begin to ask the Lord, Father, help me to run this race. Come on, just reach out to God. Help me to run this race this morning. Help me, oh God, to keep my eye on the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Help me to exert myself on a consistent basis, Lord, that I might make progress in this race, that I don't waste my time, that I don't start and stop, that I don't do all of the things that will prevent me from competently running. Come on, just reach out to God this morning. He loves you. He's not angry at you. He loves you. Just ask him for help, and he'll help you.
And Father God, I pray that while we're running our Christian race, that when it seemed like it get hard, that we don't stop. If we slow down a little bit, come to you and cry out for help, that we may continue on this race. It's not given to the swift or the strong, but for those who endure to the end, Father God. And we just want to be obedient to you. And that this race that we run, Father God, it's never completed, but it goes on and on. And we just ask you to help us to get through it. And it's in Jesus' most precious and his holy name that I pray, God. Amen and amen. Well, thank you this morning for coming out and joining us in-house. And for those who joined us online, we thank you. And if you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you would please do so and helping us and uplifting the kingdom of God. And we would like for you to join us on September the 27th at 7 o'clock p.m. for movie night here at Christ Unveil. We'd love to see you out. And we have one more service coming up at 11 o'clock. We'd like to see you come back and join us. And with that, you are dismissed. Have a great day.